Hello and welcome to Freshwater. You're listening to a message from our pastor, Dr. Jeff Gibbon, given in one of our weekly services. You can check out our website, www.freshwaterchurch.net, for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Oh, that was a 1986 film way back in the day, and I like it coming just for Christmas. I don't know about you, but I've had more than a few of those kind of projects that are the money pit that's going to take all you got for this thing. Well, today we're continuing our series Fresh Start, and we're looking at a fresh start of all sorts of different aspects of life. Fresh start marriage and fresh start parenting and fresh start heart. And today we're going to look at fresh start finances. Next week we're going to look and give a little commercial for next week. Next week we're going to look at fresh start parenting, and I'm really looking forward to that message next week. Well, today we're going to take a good look at what the Word of God has to say about money. And we're also going to kind of keep in your mind, we're also going to take a real hard look at the American dream. And, just keep that running through the back of your mind as we go through this and really challenge the American dream and how God works, how the Scripture works in relation to that. In a lot of ways, I think we need to unhitch our faith from the American dream. And, I have an American dream. American dream is fine and good, but we can't connect our Christianity to the American dream. Now, speaking of dreams, in 1909, at the age of 41, Florence Foster Jenkins had been newly divorced, and her parents had passed away. She had received an inheritance, and she decided to follow her dream, to become a singer. And so she got professional voice training to become an opera singer, and she launched her career as a singer. And she began singing on stage, and there was only one problem, and that was she was bad. She was really, really, really bad. She, talent was a thing she just didn't have. She couldn't find a key with a keychain, It's just really, really bad. And in fact, here's a quote. Florence Foster Jenkins was an American amateur operatic soprano who was known and ridiculed for her lack of rhythm, pitch, tone, her apparent pronunciation of libretti, and overall poor singing ability. And so, that's actually her Wikipedia article. Isn't that nice? But that left, she was undaunted by that. And in fact, she was so bad that she kind of came full circle around and was good again, because it was funny how bad she was. And she was happy singing, and her audience was happy listening because it was so bad. And her career actually took off. And for over 30 years, she had a singing career. And she said, people could say that I can't sing, but they can't say I didn't sing. And that's kind of how she viewed it. And in 1944, just a few months before she passed away, she put on her final concert at Carnegie Hall. And she sold out. She didn't sell out the day of. She sold out quickly. As soon as it was announced, boom, she sold out. And so, in a way, her dream came true. But in another way, it was completely different than what she anticipated. She was kind of the Rebecca Black of the day, except in comparison, Rebecca Black is really, really good. So, as we look at dreams, we need to, one, realize it may not turn out as we have planned, and two, to really take a look at what is the role of God and faith in creating our dreams, and looking at our culture of the American dream separate from our faith. So we're in this series, and in this series we're going to look at, we have been looking at two things that have to work together. They work the best together, and that is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And how does the Word of God instruct us, the wisdom of God's Word, and how does the power of God change everything? Kind of our underlying text to this whole series is found in Exodus 6:1, where it says, "Then the Lord says to Moses," this was after he had done all the good things, all the scriptural things, all the right things, and it still wasn't working. He says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, now you'll see what I will do." And everything changed. And that was a fresh start moment for him. And we are looking for those fresh start moments. Today, fresh start at finances. And something that I also want to, before we even open up the scripture to our text, Jesus is true for everyone, or Jesus is true for no one. And I believe that, because truth is an accurate representation of reality. Jesus is real. And so Jesus is true for everyone, or he's true for no one. It can't be, well, that works for you, and this other thing works for me. He is true for everyone. And then the other piece of that is, God's Word is true for everyone, or it's true for no one. And so as we look at finances, we have to keep in mind that this book works just as well in Calcutta as it does Gilbert. And this truth is true in Calcutta just as it is in Gilbert. And so as we look at a fresh start at finances and what God has to say about money, we have to keep that in mind. And that's just another way of saying the American dream, I think, is a good dream, but it's not necessarily connected to faith and what God has in mind and in store for everyone. So we begin this text, this message in Matthew chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, open there with me. And I'm going to start at verse 19. As we start out with a question, who do you trust? So Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And skipping down a couple of verses, he continues, right down to 24. "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So before we even begin with a fresh start in finances, we have to ask ourselves a really important introspective question. And that is, who do you trust? Really, who do you trust? Jesus, kind of in this count, puts into question, you know, is Jesus against a savings account? Is he against a retirement account? Well, to get into that question, we have to ask ourselves, what was it like in their day? And what did it mean for them as Jesus is talking about this? And when we do that, this text opens up for us. You see, for most of history, for most of the planet, and certainly in this time, people didn't have retirement accounts. They had kids. Their retirement account was their children. Children took care of their parents in their old age. Your retirement account was your children. And first thing, when you think about that, makes me wonder, how would parenting be different today in the United States of America if we had no Social Security, we had no retirement accounts, but our kids would take care of us, right? What would be different? How would our education system be different? How would respect for others and being a respectable person of society be different if that were the case? How would parents invest in their kids differently if that were the case? Lots of good questions in that, in fielding that out. How would that play out if that was how it turned out? Well, all of this kind of leads to, even though that was a nice little question for our day, and that if our retirement account is our kids, one of the Ten Commandments says, honor your mother and father. That means even more now, right? And then 1 Timothy 5:4 says, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God. See, that even makes even more sense in this context. Well, so in their day, if someone is saying, I'm going to have my own treasure store, I'm going to set up treasures for myself on earth, what is that saying? That was saying, I'm not investing in my kids. I'm not trusting in God. I'm trusting in what I can do and in money. That leads to Jesus saying, you can't serve both God and money. You can't. It's not going to work. Now, today's retirement system is different. I'm not saying, okay, we should go back to that and kill your 401k. Don't do that. Today's different, but the principles of this text are the same. And the principle of parenting that we see in this text, I think, is the same. We need to invest in our kids. But also, where do we put our trust is an important question through this. So who do we really trust? Really, God or money? God's financial fresh start begins with trust. And it can't be, well, okay. I'm going to trust God so I can get the money that I really trust. It can't be that. It has to be trusting God, trusting in Him, wherever He leads, no matter what. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Imagine, if you will, if you got some inside information, some really trusted information, somebody who worked somewhere, and you knew them, and they're a personal friend, and they let something slip they weren't supposed to let slip, and they said, currency's going to change. There was a big thing, and there was a other thing happened, and the currency is going to change, and the American dollar, they can't tell anybody, but the American dollar is going to be done at the first of the year, and we're going to go with the South African rand after this, and the paper money will be worth the paper. What would happen, right, if you had that kind of inside information, if the currency was going to change, and the dollar was going to be worth nothing, and another currency is going to be worth something? Well, in a kind of real way, that's what's happening. See, the dollar is useful for us here and now. Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. The currency is going to change. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Prayer, mission, worship, honoring God in that way. Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. A true, fresh start at finances begins by trusting God and investing in Him. So, as we go through this, I'm a little overwhelmed with all this, to be honest. There is so much information in the Bible. I very quickly became aware as I was preparing for this message that this is worthy of a series, this topic. It is huge. So I'm going to hit a bunch of stuff really really fast and a lot of text. I know I put a ton in your bulletin of Bible text. There's a couple I didn't put, and hopefully I'll mention those so make sure you get them for your notes. But so the first part of this is understanding God as provider. What does that mean? The other day, one of our boys, we do something a little different for our allowance. We give allowance once a month to our boys. I won't go into that. But we give a small allowance. They really have to save to get any amount of money. They really got to do that. And the reason we move to a monthly allowance, one is it's easier for me. It's first of all. And then secondly, but more importantly, it teaches boys to budget. you get one paycheck a month, you got to think about it. And I want them from a very early age to think about budgeting. So one of our boys came to us just recently and he said, you know, maybe I could have a weekly allowance. And he took his monthly allowance and divided by four and he said, how about I get this per week? Well, knowing that this boy is actually quite good at budgeting and quite good at math, I quickly figured out that he wasn't looking for a weekly paycheck. He was looking for four extra paychecks because there are not 4 weeks in a month, right? There are 4.3 weeks in a month. And so if you do the math, 4 times 12 is 48. There's actually 52 weeks in the year. Boom! He got four extra paychecks. That's how he was looking at it. He was thinking ahead. He was planning out. He had a plan, a presentation, and out it came. And thankfully, I saw through it. But anyway, he was looking, and he was looking to his parents as provider. And, you know, sometimes, to be honest, don't we kind of do things like that to God? We come to God and we say, you know what, this would work really well. And we present a plan to God, really looking for an extra paycheck. Well, as we look to God as provider, there's a couple things, and I'm gonna mess with your head. First is to take a look at Jehovah Jireh. And I got a lot of texts in a short period of time. I'm gonna not read all of them. I'll just say that text where Jehovah Jireh, if you've used that term, you know what it means. My God, or God is my provider. Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Moses, and so forth. And Jireh is a Hebrew word for provider. And there's an old song about Jehovah Jireh as my provider and so forth. And we quote that a lot in saying, well, God's my provider. God will provide. And first, I want to mess with your head a little bit and take a look. If you look in the context of Deuteronomy 22:14, that's not my text, it's Genesis. Genesis 22:14. If you look at Genesis 22:14, and you look at that text, you will see that the context is Abraham offering sacrifice. And he didn't have a lamb. And he told Isaac, he said, God will provide a sacrifice. God is our provider. That's a really important context because God is our provider in this context is that God provides a sacrifice for our sin. And we need to stop and look as we look at provider, that this greatest need that we could never fill, God provides a sacrifice for our sin. Whether that goes beyond that is really debatable. Whether God is provider, we'll look at other texts that talk about provision. But this text is talking about providing a sacrifice for sin. God provides that. Similarly, people will say, well, God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Well, that comes from Psalm 50:10, and where it says, for every animal in the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. And the text there is, God is saying, I don't need animal sacrifice. I don't need dead cattle. I'm not hungry. I have plenty of cattle on my own. The reason for sacrifice is for you. That principle is still true today, too. Our worship needs sacrifice. It does. We need to sacrifice to bring our heart to God. When we sacrificially give or worship, it just changes our worship for the better. We need that. And so the sacrifice that we bring, whether it's in the Old Testament where we brought an animal sacrifice, or today when we bring other kinds of sacrifice, it's not because God needs that. God has plenty of cattle. It's because we need that. Well, again, a lot of times people will bring up this concept that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills in the kind of the context that he's going to give you free cattle. Well, that's not the context of the text. It's not the free cattle plan. This is saying something completely different and beautiful, wonderful. So what does God provide? And as I said in the very beginning here, God provides a sacrifice, and that is abundantly beautiful, and all we really need is Jesus. And we need to keep that first in our mind. God provides Jesus. Second thing, though, is God creates ability. God gives you abilities, and He creates those abilities in you. The Bible talks in a lot of different places about how He gives us the ability to create wealth from the earth. Because there's abilities that He has, or that He has given us to make change. Another way is the bare essentials for life. God provides that. We see that there's three examples. One is manna. Remember, as Israel is traveling through in the wilderness, and they're traveling for 40 years, said every morning, every evening, there was manna on the ground. Manna is Hebrew for what is that? And it was an edible substance, kind of like bread, but it was on the ground, and it was just bare essentials. Another example of that, by the way, manna, you can look in, there's a text, several texts about it, but Psalm 78, 24, 25. Another is Elijah in 1 Kings 17, 6, receives meat from ravens. And God sends him meat from ravens. Now, I want to stop just for a second. I'm a farm boy. Everybody's a farm boy. Just think for a second. What kind of meat do these ravens bring? Bare essentials, right? It's nothing you're serving for Thanksgiving, right? It's bare essentials. And God has, and really, true life has a very different view of bare essentials than Americans do, right? So bare essentials. Here's another example. Jesus said in the prayer that He gave us, give us today our daily bread. So God provides bare essentials, and it's a lot different than what we're used to. So, and then fourth, and this is the one I want to spend a little more time on, and that is blessed efforts. Blessed efforts. You see, when we engage our abilities following God's path, there's a blessing that God can give to bless our abilities, our efforts. And one example from Deuteronomy 28, 9 through 11. This promise was for Israel, but there's principles in it for us. And I want to see those principles. The promise is for them. The principles are for everyone. So here's the promise that was for them. The Lord will establish you as His holy people. And He promised you on oath, if you keep His commandments, keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and walk in His ways, then all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord. They will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crop of your ground, in the land He swore your forefathers to give you. Now, that's a promise to Israel at that time. Follow the Lord, follow His commandments, be obedient, and there's a blessing that comes with, so that, here's the two principles, so that others will see. Others will see. See, God connects His power to His mission. His mission is not to make life great here. His mission is to rescue as many people as possible. And so any blessing that we might receive from Him has that underlying purpose for the mission to rescue as many people as possible. And then secondly, look at the efforts here. How is He going to bless? With abundant prosperity, it says in this text, promise for them, principle for us. Fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, the crops of your ground. See, there's a principle there, right? The principle there is that He's blessing their efforts. And that's a principle that's with us today. That God will bless our efforts, our abilities, for the mission. That's important. So, God blesses our efforts. Now, a lot of people, or I should say, a lot of TV evangelists, sometimes I pick them up, TV evangelists, they'll tell a story of how they were praying for money, and a check from somebody they had no idea who they were arrived in the mail, and Well, we got to unpack that with the biblical principles, because a lot of times they're saying if you pray, you could get a check from somebody you don't know. That's kind of the underlying thing they're saying. Well, really, what happened fit our principle, but it was misunderstood in the delivery. And the principle is blessed efforts. So the televangelist is doing a job. He's inspiring. He's pointing people to the Word, pointing people to Jesus. And somebody, he has no idea who, hears the message, and his life was changed and blessed. And they gave. They wrote out a check. Put it in the mail. See, that's blessed efforts. That's blessed abilities. See, it fits the principle. It was just misapplied later after it happened. So the principle here is blessed efforts. So God's blessing principles. And boy, I got a lot left in a little time. But one, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Galatians 6, 7, and 9. Second, I'm going to speed this up a little bit. But you reap what you sow. Secondly, we got to take a look at poverty and scarcity. Proverbs 6, 10 and 11 says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, scarcity like an armed man. Now, there are a lot of ways to find poverty, right? There's many roads that lead to poverty. But we have to take an honest look at this and say, if I'm there, was this the reason? There's a lot of other reasons. Is this the reason? There's a lot of other reasons that are outside of our hands. That's one of his. Proverbs 21, 20, and 21 says, the wise have wealth and luxury, but the fool spend whatever they get. Oh guilty. Right? Get the money, spend it. Boom. But the wise man has wealth and luxury. He doesn't spend all that he has. The fool spends all that he has. And a lot of times, you know what? That's exactly where I'm at, right? I get a little money and I spend it all. And that happens. And so we got to look at poverty and scarcity. There are a lot of reasons. I just wanted to bring out those. Another principle here of blessing principle is that the borrower is a slave to the lender. Proverbs 22, 7. And finally, God desires to bless his people. That is his hope. That is his desire. That's what he wants to do. Sometimes, for the sake of the mission, there's a detour in that. But he does desire to bless his people. And that to show the nations, as we saw in the Deuteronomy 28 text, he does desire to bless his people. So the paradox of money. As we look at a fresh start, let's look at the paradox of money. I've noticed a few paradoxes in life. One is, if I'm always tired, the very best thing I can do is go for a run. You know, that doesn't make sense. You'd think if you're tired, you need to rest, go take a nap. But, you know what? I found if I'm tired all the time, I need a couple of good sweaty workouts. It's just what I need. It breaks the tired. And doesn't make sense. It's a paradox. It just seems the opposite of what you should do. But it works. Another one. If I'm always hungry, I need to fast. Right? You'd think, well, you need to eat. Your body's asking for food for a reason. You should eat. If I'm always hungry, though, I need to fast. I need to take a day, maybe two, and just pray and fast and give my body a break. And it works. It breaks the hunger. It continues, though. I'm broke all the time. I need to give. It's just part of the paradox of life. That when, not reckless giving, not anything like that, but when I say, I'm going to give this, it starts breaking the cycle. Breaks it. Breaks the broke. Well, there's some paradoxes with that. And I mentioned generosity. You can look at 2 Corinthians 9, 11, where it talks about God gives us generosity. Give us to us generously so that we can give generously. There's a cycle to that. He gives to us so that we can give. Well, in all of this, what we really long for is a Cinderella story, right? An unjust, Cinderella was unjustly She was Ella, and she was made to clean the soot, so she became Cinder Ella. And so she was unjustly by a, you know, a wicked stepmother put in a bad place. And then the prince came, right? Prince came, rescued her, and brought her to the palace. And we really long for that story. And you know what? That story does happen. We are put in a place that we don't belong, and because of Jesus, we are rescued, ultimately, to be in a palace of sorts in heaven. But there is reversals in Scripture, as it happens in finances. Reversals, here's one example. Joel 2:25. God says that I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. He goes on to say, the locust I sent. And if you look into the context, people were disobedient to God. And so to get their attention, he took them. He sent locusts to them to eat their crops because they were worshiping their wealth. And when the people turned back to the Lord, he said, I'll repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. It was a period of years. And there was a great reversal in Israel. Their poverty turned into something very different because of the blessing of God. And there are reversals in life. There are times when God breaks in and changes everything. It begins with what we trust. So, finding the Lord's blessing. How can we bring this into real life? One is, glorify the Lord. Seek to glorify God in everything, no matter the personal cost, because in glorifying the Lord, we're finding the true wealth, the wealth of Him. Secondly, place God's mission high on your priority list. His mission is not to make this life great, but to rescue people into the next life. And third, give Him something to bless. Remember we talked about one of the great principles, the principles was blessed efforts? Well, we need to give Him something to bless. He takes our crops, and He takes the livestock, He multiplies. What do we give Him that He can bless? So as we look at finding the Lord's blessing, a fresh start in finances, is give the Lord something to bless. And then fourth, meet a need. That works both in career path. I mean, you might really, 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 really like medieval Italian poetry, but is it meeting a need? And so that may be a great thing to look at, but it may not be the best career path. You know what I mean? So meet a need. Meet a need in what you seek for career path, what you give the Lord to bless. Meet a need. Also works in our generosity. Sometimes there are money pits in life, like our video intro, our trailer. There are things in life that we think, well, this is going to work. We can fix this house up, and it just falls apart. Costs tons more money than we ever imagined. Took all we have. And you know what? That can come in many different forms. That can come in a lot of different forms. We are in the worst economy of our parents' lifetime. And as we look at finances, we need to give ourselves a little bit of a break. See, 10 years ago, we could say, well, you're not prospering and you can fix something. Well, that's not the case so much today. Right? We can't beat ourselves up. We need to give ourselves a break. Secondly, the Bible speaks more on money than it does on heaven and hell. More on money than heaven and hell. So study and pray and reform. Look at choices. Look at ways God does bless. Follow after the Lord. I believe in great reversals. In fact, that's part of the Fresh Start series. It's really this fundamental belief that God can break into our lives and make a profound difference. And so as we close today, I want to pray for great reversals. Whatever you're facing, wherever you're at, I just pray that God will bless and start something new, and that He will start something new in our hearts as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord, that you are a provider. And Lord, we pray. We pray, Lord, that you will provide abundantly. Lord, we come to you and we realize, I know I realize, that far too often I'm not seeking first your kingdom. And Lord, I repent for that and I change. And I want you most of all. I trust you. And Lord, for where I have missed the mark, for where I've done less than I could, for when I've made a poor choice, I pray not only for forgiveness, but I also pray, Lord, that you would repay the years the locusts have eaten. We pray, Lord, that you would bring a fresh start in finances. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Freshwater Church meets in Gilbert, Arizona. Please check out our website for more information, freshwaterchurch.net. You may also email us at office@freshwaterchurch.net. If you have some tough questions about the Bible, God, or the church, feel free to email us at questions@freshwaterchurch.net. God bless, and we hope to see you soon.